I'm talking about that's the good part, man, that right there, but that ain't the great part. He loved us so much, man. He did all those things so much for us, but for a purpose. He didn't just redeem our life from destruction, but he restored something. That's the greatest message of all. The redeeming message, that's a good message, boy. That'll get you saved. But most people just saved and wandering around in the wilderness, man. That's all we're doing, wandering around in the wilderness. When all the time, boy, there's a promised land. What promised land? I told you, I found that secret place. That in that land, I told you, it don't matter what you're going on around you. It don't matter about no pandemics. It don't matter about this government. It don't matter about they what force you to do or don't force you to do, baby. Your life is hid in him. And boy, the good news is, man, that place is available to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And God is saying to every last one of you under the sound of my voice, man, come on home. Come on, well, come on home. Where's home, Arthur? Past the gates of thanksgiving, past the courts of praise, past the sanctuary, past our church service, past our religious rituals and ceremonies and all those things, that past all of that, all the way behind the veil into the very presence of the Most High God. Well, you can commune with him yourself. Well, let me tell you something. What he wants far more than what our corporate experience and what we have on church service on Sundays and everything else. That's a good thing. But, boy, that's a means to a greater thing. What's that, boy? He wanted to. He wants a fellowship with you one-on-one. He wants you to know him, man, all not just on Sundays and feel his presence, just not just on Sundays, man, but all the days of your life, 24-7. David called it the secret place of the Most High God and the presence of the Lord. That's why Jesus Christ cleansed you of all your sins and everything else. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you could come on back into the presence of the Lord. Where it all started from. In the Garden of Eden, when it first started and God set up his arraignment and his world up on the earth, he was walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ cleansed you of all your sins and everything else, man. And, oh, Lord, help us. So that you could come back in the Garden of Eden. So that you could, what's the Garden of Eden? Back into the atmosphere and environment that's created by the literal presence of the Lord in your life. So you could come back in that place. Because it's only, listen to me carefully in this, it's only from that place that you could fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny. It's only from that place that you could walk upright before God. It's only from that place that you could come out of sin, man, in darkness into the marvelous light and life of Christ that he has for us. It's only from that place. You can't do it out in the wilderness. You can't accomplish it out in the wilderness. Out in the wilderness, man, you can prepare for it. You got to get in the promised land to fulfill God's purpose and destiny for your life. You got to get in that secret place of the Most High God to fulfill God's purpose and destiny for your life. You got to get back into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. You got to get in that ark. When Noah was in that ark, man, he wasn't worrying about nothing. It was raining and everything else all around him. I'm talking about pandemics. Pandemics ain't got nothing to compare to, boy. When the boy started raining, man, and all the people on the earth. This pandemic just killing, man, millions, boy. I'm talking about all the people on the earth, man. But destroyed, but not old Noah. Lord. And not Noah's family. Glory to God. But all that was going on around them, boy, they was in the ark of safety. They was in the ark of a covenant with God, of God that he had made. You think that little ark that Noah built was something, man? The only reason why that ark that was built, man, because God had already had built an ark and made a covenant, man, with mankind from the very beginning. That place. That's the purpose for the love of God. That's why God loves us so much, man, so that we can, man, come boldly to him. So that we can run to our Father. Because when you run to him, I don't care if you're dirty and stained and sin and everything. I don't care if you're the worst sin in the world. But if you run to him, he'll welcome you with open arms. And he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And not only will he cleanse you from all unrighteousness, man, he'll put, man, a robe of righteousness upon you. He'll clothe you in his righteousness. In his righteousness, not your righteousness. You didn't already fail. We didn't already missed it. So you can't fix it. It's too late. You didn't already sin and come short of the mark. So you can't save yourself. Now it's too late. You need a savior. You need. We need somebody to come and redeem our life from that destruction. Boy, God loved so much that he did. He sent his only begotten son. And his son did what he's sending to do. And then he rose from the grave, like I said, and went all the way and sat at the right hand of the Father, where now he's living and making intercession. Nobody interceding up there about is man for us men to come on into our place. Because you want to come out of sin, you got to get in that place. You get in that place, you won't want to sin. Listen, when you begin to experience the love of God, and listen at this carefully, he got to first love you. Before we can love God and everything else, he got to first love you. That's why he sent me on this broadcast radio station, man, so that not only you could hear these voices, man, but that you might, man, in your spirit, feel his love for you today, right now. How much he loves you, it don't matter what. Even, man, if you die right now, baby, his love, man, gonna raise you from the dead, man. You got everlasting life. All you gotta do is believe. That's how much he loves you, that he secured your eternity for you. He secured that. He has that place for you. The thing is, you got to receive it. You got to, and before you can listen, all you got to do is believe it. I told you, give you free will now. He ain't going to force it on you. He just put it out there. You can either receive it or you can reject it. I like what the brother said when I listened to the broadcast earlier, man. It's all right they put the thing out there, man, whatever they want to do, man, about the COVID. But if you give you your free will, then that's lawful. You can either receive it or you can reject it. That's your choice. Anything other than that, man, and hey, listen, the same way with God, man. You know, he lay his love out there, man, for us, and he said, hey, I said before you this day, life and death, blessings and curses, love or hate. He didn't say, I said before, and then he made this. Then he said this. He didn't say choose anyone. He said choose life, that you and all your children might live. Choose the blessings so that the curses don't have no effect on you. Choose life, so that death don't have no effect on you. He told us what to choose. He tells us what to choose. He don't just tell us, put it out there, but he tells us, man, what's in our best interest. He gives us the direction. He directs our path. That's his love. Let me say this for at least I forget it. When you begin to experience the love of God, like I told you, you won't want to sin. You love God too. You know what it's designed to do? It's designed, when God first loved us and showed us his love toward us, that while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. That means while we still ain't got it all together yet his love keep on loving us, man, so that, boy, we can keep on experiencing his love so that for this purpose, so that we might grow in love with him. That we might learn to love him. That's all he wants. He just wants, listen, that's his greatest desire. That's why I say the greatest of these is love. That's his greatest desire, what? Is for his children to love him. The way he loves us. And the only way we can love him the way he loves us, he got the first, like I told you, he got the first love us. Then when you start beginning to experience that love, and get into that secret place of the Most High God, into the ark, man, like you think Noah was trying to sin and do everything else, man, in that ark, no, Lord, baby. Everything else among them and around them, man, were dying and, man, being destroyed. They wasn't thinking about no sinning. Man, they were thanking and praising God, man, for, man, saving them in the midst of all the pandemics and everything else, man, that's surrounding us. They're saving us in the midst of all the corrupted government, man, that we operate under, man. It got good in it and everything else, man, but all this world system, man, and corruption in it. There's none right. No, not none. Thank God for the good and thank God for the form of government that we do have. Lord have mercy. If we didn't have that democracy, man, oh, Lord, it'd be lawless then. Without that, man, you know what happened without that and the little government system that we have here on today? It'd be just like it was in the days of old, man. God had to, man, wipe us off the face of the earth again. Hallelujah. You had to have some form of government. But boy, Jesus Christ came to bring back, man, the original government. Another government. That's my message. He didn't just come to die on the cross and save us from our sin, but that was for a purpose. Why? So, man, you can come into the ark so that you can get into the secret place of the Most High God so that you can come back into the presence of God even though your sins are like scarlet. Maybe you wash white as snow. You don't have no sin conscience. Why? Because you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You read it. It's in the Bible. Lord. And what purpose are the man? For what purpose, man? So that, man, when you come back into the presence of the Most High God, that's what he wants. He don't want you to join the church and shake the preacher. Well, let me, I don't want you to misunderstand. Yes, but know what he wants you to do first. You know, we had a tradition that we do. We go and we hear the word. And then, man, you know, they give us the invitation and to join the church. Then we join the church. Then we go forward. We shake the preacher's hand, take the right hand of fellowship. And then they write our names, man, on the church roll. And that's a good thing, but that's a type and a shadow of what God is really doing. What he wants you to do? He wants you to hear the word of God, the love of God, man. Then, man, you accept it, man. And then, man, you come forth, man, and you say, hey, I want a part of that love. I want, man, be that love. I want to have that love. I want to feel that love. I want to get in your kingdom, Lord. I want to join, Lord, in on what you're doing. Not just what my church doing. See, when you join in the church, you join in what the church doing. But you say, Lord, I want to join in on what you're doing. And boy, you shake the Lord Jesus Christ's hand. You have a personal encounter with him. That's why I say God want a personal encounter with you. He want a personal relationship with you. He want to walk and talk with you in the cool of the day, in the storm of the day, in whatever part of the day that it might be. He wants you to know that he's with you. And if we know that we know that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that he's with us, whithersoever we go, we won't worry about nothing, glory to God. No matter what going on around us. You are no more that everything is all right, even if it don't go your way. Sometimes our way is not his way. Sometimes our thoughts are not his thoughts. But boy, in that place, in the secret place of the Most High God, pandemics, corrupt governments, watch this, even death, physical death, don't have no authority, boy, over you in that place. If you in that place, death ain't got to pass over you, baby. Lord, you got the blood of the Lamb sprinkling on the doorpost of your life. So when the death angel come through, man, trying to take you into eternal damnation with him, the devil trying to take you into eternal damnation with him, take you to hell with him, he got to pass over you, baby. Well, you covered in the blood. But if you don't know that, and if you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you know that, then even though you're covered and even though everything is all right, man, you're a dying man in the wilderness, not knowing that all the things, boy, that we are capable of doing and capable of being and capable of having. Listen, if you knew the thing that God not only, man, that God has done for you already, a lot of things, you know something, boy, I'll probably pray out that we pray, but the Holy Ghost know how to fix it, huh? A lot of things we go to God in prayer and asking God to be in for that he delegated you to go do. A lot of things we ask God in prayer, God had already done. Case in point. You ask God to heal you, you think you say no? You ask God to save you, you think you say no? You ask God to save your husband, save your wife, you think you say no? You ask God, man, to fix your home or fix your marriage or fix whatever. You think he say no? Anything you ask according to his will, you think he say no? Listen, I'm going to say this again. If you ask God to save you from a devil's hell, do you think he would say no? Because you ain't did this right and you ain't doing this right. You ain't. Know what he's going to say, baby? It's a done deal already. He's going to bring you to the knowledge of it. That's something he's already done. You think when we ask God to heal our loved ones or we pray for the sick and everything, you think the God say no? You know what he say, man? You were healed by the stripes of Jesus. You think when you ask God to, when we ask God to help us, man, he say no? He say, I'll be a very present help in your time of need. Well, how come it ain't manifesting in our life? Because you don't know. You don't know that. You don't know how to appropriate that in your life. See, listen, once you get into the kingdom of God, it's not enough to be in the kingdom, and it's not enough to be in the ark, and it's not enough to be in that secret place of the Most High God, and it's not enough to be back in Eden. You got to now learn how to live in Eden. You got to learn, man, the functioning principles in the government and how to operate in there. Just like you were born and trained and conditioned to live in this world system that we live in now, once you get born again into another kingdom, into the kingdom of God, then you got to grow up in that kingdom too. When you come in there, you don't know how to walk like God wants you to walk and talk like God wants you to talk and live like God wants you to live. You're just a little bitty baby. So God give you the sincere milk of the word, the love of God, so that you could grow there. I bet got some folks been in church 40 years, still little bitty babies. Ain't no bad thing again to say, man, but I'm talking about, man, as you feed, like I heard my brother say earlier on the broadcast, too, man, one of the main things is missing, man, listen, you need to be in the Word. You got to desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you could grow by. If you ain't going to spend no time in the Word and ain't going to get no Word on the inside of you and ain't going to, man, incline your ears unto the Word of God and begin to be a hearer of the Word of God, before you can be a doer of the Word, you got to first be a hearer. But you got to commit your life to Christ. You know what that means? I mean, man, you got to, man, the Word of God got to take a precedence in your life. The Word of God got to begin, man, to rest and rule and reign in your life. You're going to have to spend some time in the Word. There's so many ways. I ain't talking about just reading your Bible, man. That's the main thing. That's a good thing. But they got the way technology is today, man, you ain't even got to know how to read, man. They got it. You can just hit a couple buttons on your phone, man, they'll read the Bible to you. So ain't no excuse, man. Listen, and you don't understand it. You're a little bitty baby. But if you keep on hearing, and if you keep on hearing, and just like a little bitty baby, the days keep on going by, and you in the Word on a daily basis, man, you're going to start learning and understanding and growing. The problem is, man, a lot of us in the kingdom, man, but we don't know the laws that governs the kingdom. We know the laws that God gave Moses. We know that real well. You don't know the original laws that God gave mankind, God gave Adam. And the breaking of those laws, the original laws that we're gonna talk about, boy, I've been trying to get to that for years and years and years. The original laws of God, by mankind breaking those laws, them laws that God gave Moses, man, listen, that's just a result, man, of mankind, man, falling short of God's original laws. So if you're gonna fix the laws in our life that God gave Moses for us to live by, the only way you can fix those laws in our lives, you got to get back to God's original laws. Hallelujah. Listen, let me say this out here. Let me plant this seed into your life. In that secret place of the Most High God, in the presence of the Lord, in Eden, back at home for you, those of you who may have not yet, man, made your way back home like the prodigal son did. One day, boy, the prodigal son heard a word, man, and said, man, listen, I'm going home. And I'm going just like I am. When I left there, I had something, man. Now I ain't got jack. But I don't matter. I'm going back home, man. Even the servants in my father's house living better than. Listen, I'm going home. And the Bible say, boy, while he was yet a long ways off. If you understood what that meant right there. While he was yet a long ways off, his father saw him coming. And boy, he ran out to meet him. While he was yet a long way off, while he was out there in the pig's pen and living riotous and everything else, boy, his father kept looking for his son to come home. He knew one day, baby, hey, Lord, that his son, man, was coming home. So y'all can imagine, every day he got there, go out there and look toward the way from which his son will be coming from, looking for his son. And boy, one of them days, man, he went out to look for him, man. Boy, the Bible says he saw him coming. He went out to look for him a many days. But on that day he saw him coming, boy, the father ran out to meet him. The same way with God. been many times, boy, you've been out there just looking for you. But you've been out there in righteous living and living in the ways of the world and living and caught up in religion and rituals and everything else, man, when all the time, man, there's a personal relationship, boy, that God want to have with you. Listen, before that prodigal son ran and met with the family and joined the church and had the party and all those things and everything else, you know what the first thing happened was? He met his father. His father was the first one to go out there and greet him. And he told his father, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just receive me as I am. All he did, the son did, was just humble himself under the mighty hand of the Father. Same thing God said, just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Lord, here I am. Just like I am. But the Father said, man, listen, Gay, bring me that robe. And bring the ring. What robe, boy? That's the robe of righteousness. Though you had been out there and did all those things, man, yet you my son. And I love you so much, man, that I look past all that you did, all the right, the living, and everything else, and I'm going to clothe you with this robe of righteousness, stating that, man, you are now, man, back in right, you're now home. And because you're home, you're in right standings with me. And give me that ring. What the ring represents, man, that ring, I can explain it to you, but for the sake of time, the ring represents, man, authority. Authority, man, to dictate, to not dictate, but to rule and reign, man, in his circle of influence. And then, man, boy, when they clothed him back in righteousness, put him back in right standing with the Father, and gave him back his authority, gave him back everything that he lost. Listen, he not only saved us from our sin, but he restored back to us everything that we lost. Everything that you lost in Adam, man, Jesus Christ come to restore that back to you. You know what you lost in Adam? You lost your sovereignty. You lost your dominion. You lost your crown. And as a result of it, man, you didn't allow, man, the world system, man, to separate, man, the priest from the king. When God created you, he created you a king first and a priest. He not only put a turban on your head, he put a crown on your head. He put a crown on top of the turban. The turban wasn't on top of the crown. The crown was on top of the turban. What the turban? The turban represents your spirituality, your spiritual relationship, your spiritual life, your conduct, and everything else. What the crown represents? That represents your authority, your kingship, your ability to reign over your domain, over your territory. The priesthood, that's spiritual. The crown, that's political. That's government. We allow men in Christianity, religion, allow men to separate church from state when church is state. God, Jesus didn't come to bring back another religion or set up man where we can have church and all that. He come with a government on his shoulder, I told you. He come with a rule and authority. And what he was teaching and what he was preaching is how to operate man in this government. It's totally different from the world system that we live in now. It's the kingdom of God. And in order for you to operate in that kingdom and to function in that kingdom and get all them blessings that we're praying for that you don't see manifest in that life, man, you got to learn the functioning principles of that kingdom. You got to learn the laws that governs the kingdom. So you can be in the kingdom and maybe just be just like the children of Israel, going around and around and around and around and around Mount Sinai for years and years and years and years. Never entering into that promised land. A lot of them died in the wilderness. They were saved, but they never entered into their inheritance. You live in a generation now, man, well, you can enter into your inheritance. Your inheritance is right at the door. What's your inheritance? Come, you who are blessed of your Father. Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. Come, you who are blessed of your Father, and inherit the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. Here's the invitation. Here's the Father going looking for you, man, every day. What? And what's the invitation? Come. Come get your inheritance. Not only are you my son, but you, not only are you a son of God, but you are heir of God too, and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. See, you don't know those things out there. You don't know you have an inheritance. I tell you, if you knew, if mankind knew all the things that God done for him and all that he has for us, man, we'd be running to God. I listen, I ain't never going to run from God. I run to him, man, all the days of my life. Especially when I fall, baby, I run to him, man. I get up and I head home, man. I run home. I go, that's where my strength comes from. That's where my help comes from. That's where my redemption comes from. And that's where my restoration comes from. He restores us, our soul, and leads us in the path of what? Righteousness. Though you won't want to sin. You can't get all I'm talking about, man, just live a righteous life and sin anyway. If you try to do it that way, that's how to see how the prodigal son came out, huh? Eating out the pig's pen. I don't care if you got $1 billion, $1 trillion, man. If your life ain't in Christ, man, I don't care if you, what good it is to gain the whole world and die and go to hell. What good it is to gain the whole world for, what, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 years that you live here on this earth and then spend eternity in hell? When you can gain all of that, man, and then, man, you know, serve God with it, and then, man, spend eternity, man, in heaven where all the wrath and moth and corruption can't even enter into the wealth that you have there. And that's for eternity. They didn't say do away with the wealth, man. God know we need the money. He said, but use the money to serve God. Don't serve the money. It is he who give us the power to get wealth so that we can establish his covenant in the earth. He is. To do what? Establish his covenant in the earth. Not your covenant. Not your fame. Your fame will be already, man, included in it if you use it, man, to establish his covenant in the earth. I don't know how I got there. But that's the love of God that he has for you. As I prepare to close this, I was supposed to make mention of several things. Lord have mercy. I tell y'all, when I get caught up here, listen. Boy, God is blessing us. And God has a word for us that's going to build us up and strengthen us, man. And it's called the gospel of the kingdom. It's not just the gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is not, man, you know, about, man, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the kingdom is what that wrought for you. The good news about the kingdom is, man, you know, what that accomplished for you. You already know that. What you don't know, man, is what all that entails and what all, man, the benefits, man, of that. And what all, you say, bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that's within me, and forget not his benefits, who forgive all our iniquities, who heal all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. That's in the Bible. It's in the book of Psalms, 103 or 107, those chapters, one like that. You look and you see for yourself. I don't have no chapter and verse for you. But boy, I quoted nothing but the word of God on this broadcast. I told you I'm an ambassador of Christ. I can't give you my opinion about nothing. I only say what thus said the Lord. You can receive it or you can reject it. My prayer there, boy, you receive it. And something that you might hear that might be bones to you, then spit it out. If something that you hear that, man, you might not really understand yet, then don't throw it away. Just put it in the back on the shelf. Why? We are ambassadors of Christ. My family and I, you know, even though sometimes all families are dysfunctional, everything else, and they'll attack us in all kinds of ways. But let me tell you something. My family and I, baby, we are ambassadors of Christ. There we are. We just represent, man, you know, the government of heaven, the government of God. We just that when we come on, when you ask us anything, press our button, that will come out of us, the kingdom. Hey, listen, my time is up. I wanted to tell y'all about a GoFundMe page, but I don't think that we have it. We are restoring our building over there in Stanley Park for those of you in the Bunker area over there, you know, and we're in the process of restoring it back. God wants to restore that house of God there. And it has some repairs that need to be done there, the roof and everything else. We've set up a GoFundMe page on our Facebook account. And if any of you in the Bunker area would like to assist us in any way in restoring God's house, then you all know where I am there in the Bunker there, in the Piggly Wiggly Shopping Center, you know, between the Dollar Store and Piggly Wiggly. You can communicate with us there. If you would like to aid and support us in helping restoring God's house so that God's word can minister to our community and the surrounding communities, then we welcome you, man, to come and be a part of what God is doing. And as a result of it, I promise you, God will bless your life. It'll bless your life. You'll be helping him establish his kingdom in the earth. Listen, our phone number is 713-870-3776. If you would like to be a part of that restoration work of God, please contact us. And I promise you, God will bless you for it. Our contact number is 713-870-3776. Our Facebook page is Arthur LaValle. And go and see our GoFundMe page that we have on there if you would like to contribute. We are a nonprofit organization. All contributions are tax deductible. Listen, we love you with the love of the Lord.